Now, this month is going to be a missions emphasis month. So for the whole month of November, we're going to be emphasizing the different missionaries that we support and here as a church, both globally and locally. Now, one thing I am disappointed about this morning is we had this lovely video from Julius from the Village of Hope in Tanzania that we were going to show you. I'm sure we'll get to show you another Sunday, but it was just a special greeting from him. And we have that place has a special place here at Warden and in our hearts. We've been supporting that missions organization for years and those missionaries in Mwanza, Tanzania. Actually, Pastor John Haug, who used to be our German pastor here, he was actually the one that built the Bible college there and the house and the guest house. And when I was in Bible college, this was my very first connection to Warden, even though I didn't know it at the time, I did my internship right there in Mwanza, Tanzania. I spent 3 months there, and I taught at the Bible college, and we reached out, and we did different children's ministries. They didn't even have a Village of Hope there at the time, but I just had the best experience, and it has a special place in my heart and the heart of this church. So if you'd like to give towards the Village of Hope in Mwanza, then please do so. We do support them, and they do such great work, especially with children and youth. We had our missions team that went there, and they just had such a great time. So, God bless you for supporting them. I'm sure we'll get to show you that video a little later on. I really felt this morning when I was asked to speak, and Pastor Perry, Peter and Carrie Ann are on vacation today. So I really felt to speak about the importance of reaching out to children and youth, because I believe they're the biggest mission field, or at least one of the biggest mission fields. Young people are such a blessing. And they're very important to God. And they're very important to me. For those of you who don't know, I was the children's pastor here for 13 years. And even though I'm no longer in that role, I still believe ministry to children and youth is vitally important. And I just really want to focus on that this morning, because young people are a blessing. And I'm thankful, so very thankful, for Pastor Carrie Ann and for Dylan and all our children and our youth ministry volunteers. They are passionate, and they're doing such an amazing job, but they also need all of us and all of our support and prayers, because they desperately want to reach more children and youth, as do I. And I'm sure all of you share that same concern. So I thought that I would begin with a story that I read about this little 5-year-old girl named Kelsey. She grew more and more excited about her first day at kindergarten, and her 3-year-old sister watched on with great enthusiasm. But on the Sunday before she was to start school, she fell and she scraped her knee and it was bleeding. And she started to cry, and her little sister said to her, "Oh, don't worry, Casey. If you die, you're going to go to heaven." Well, that made her cry even more. And she was like, "I don't want to go to heaven. I want to go to kindergarten." I just love children and their simple faith. And their unpretentious expressions, and Jesus loves them too. In fact, he wants all of them to go to heaven. He wants all of them to come to him and to be in a relationship with him. So how do we do that? How do we help the next generation get to know and love Jesus as much or more than we do? Sorry. Oh, kids, you're dismissed. How did I forget that when I'm talking about kids? Thank you, Shalom. Oh, there's another big blessing right there. She grew up in this church, and now she's serving in such an awesome way, and they're all so good. Oh, I couldn't be more proud of those young people. Oh, thank you. Yes, kids, you can be dismissed. See, the video is good, because then we don't forget things. If I forgot anything else, then forgive me, but we'll learn about it later. Anyways, Jesus has a lot to say about young people. So we're going to look at some scriptures this morning about young people. So if you have your Bibles, which I hope you do this morning because it's not on the screen, then you can turn to Mark 9. I'm going to read verses 33 to 37 and then also verse 42. If not, just listen and follow along that way. It says, again, that's Mark 9, 33 to 37. They came to Capernaum. When he was in the house, he asked them, "What were you arguing about on the road?" But they kept quiet because on the way they had argued about who was the greatest. Sitting down, Jesus called the 12 and said, "Anyone who wants to be first must be the very last and the servant of all." And he took a little child whom he had placed among them. And taking the child in his arms, he said to them, "Whoever welcomes one of these children in my name welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me does not welcome me, but the one who sent me." And then over to verse 42, it says, "If anyone causes one of these little ones, those who believe in me, to stumble, it would be better for them if a large millstone were hung around their neck and they were thrown into the sea." Wow. And then over in Mark chapter 10, verses 13 to 16, we read, "People were bringing little children to Jesus for him to place his hands on them. But the disciples rebuked them. And when Jesus saw this, he was indignant. He said to them, 'Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter in it.' And he took the children in his arms, placed his hands on them, and bless them." Let's pray. God, we thank you today for your word. Thank you for your love for all of us, God. And today we lift up our children and our youth and our children's ministry leaders and workers. And we say, God, help them, strengthen them. Help us as a church to have a greater reach to those people that are there that need you, God. Lord, help us today to hear from your word what you would have to say. And help me, God, as I speak. Thank you and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You know, I believe some of the greatest lessons we can learn are lessons we learn from the mistakes we've made. How many of you have made a mistake before? Come on, if you didn't put up your hand, that's a mistake. You made mistakes. I know I've made plenty in my life, especially in ministry. And hopefully I've learned from those mistakes. But there was one lesson I remember learning at the age of 10. And that lesson was when you're pushing your baby stroller with your baby sister in it, you shouldn't run, push, and let go, especially if you're going downhill. Me and my sister did that, and the stroller tipped over, and our little baby sister got hurt, and boy, did we get in trouble. I'll never do that again. Another lesson I learned as a child was never put tinfoil in the microwave. You only do that one once, too. We learn a lot from the mistakes we made, right? Well, we can also learn a lot from the example of other people. And there are people in their lives that some give us good examples, some not so good examples that we can learn from. And I know I learned a lot from my mother's godly example. She was amazing. And I also learned a lot from other godly people that I've known. But in this passage that we just read, we see some mistakes that the disciples made with regards to young people of their day. And I also see the best example that we could ever learn from in Jesus and the way he dealt with young people. So I'd like us to look at their examples to see what we can learn from them that can help us as we reach out more effectively to children. But first, let's see what we can learn from the disciples' mistakes. Because as someone wise once said, it's good to learn from your own mistakes, but it's better to learn from other people's mistakes. And Alfred Newman once said, you should learn from the mistakes of others because you'll never have time to make them all yourself. I like that. So the first mistake we see that the disciples made was they had a wrong view of greatness. In this passage of scripture that we just read, they didn't tell Jesus what they were arguing about, but it's okay. He already knew that they'd been arguing about who was the greatest. You know, they'd been hanging around with Jesus, but they still didn't get it. Jesus had to tell them yet again in verse 35, if anyone wants to be first, he should be last and the servant of all. And, you know, we can make that same mistake sometimes of having a wrong view of what's great and who's great and what we should do to be great. Sometimes we can focus only on or cater only to people who are our same age or people that we think are important or people that can do something for us. But oh, I love what Jesus does here. He takes a little child in his arms and he said, whoever receives one of these little children in my name receives me and receives not only me, but he who sent me. Wow. He considers children to be great. And when we minister to a young person or a youth or a child, we're ministering to Jesus himself. Did you realize that? So when you greet a little child on a Sunday morning, it's just like you're greeting Jesus himself. And when you love on a youth or a young person, you are loving on Jesus. And he values that because he values them. But the disciples, they didn't get it. They didn't yet understand the worth of young people and the nature of the kingdom of God. So let's never, as a church, as individuals, make that same mistake. The second mistake they made was they let their wrong view of greatness cause them to have a wrong attitude about young people. You see, the disciples lived in a society that viewed women and children as the lowest people in society. And they had a wrong view of what they actually meant to God. Jesus, just as Jesus tried to change their perspective on women through his encounter with the woman at the well and the woman that washed his feet, now he's trying to change their perspective on how God values children. But like some people today, they value children for what they would become and not what they are right now. So to them, children were better seen and not heard. You know, one of the biggest celebrations for Jewish people was a child's coming of age. And we can sometimes, I think, be in way too big of a hurry for children to grow up. But from what I've seen, children in our day and age have been forced to grow up way too soon. I look at some children and I can see the weight of the world on their shoulders. And they're exposed to so many things at such a young age. This is such a different world than the world that we grew up in. They have social media. They have the internet, everything is coming at them, and they're seeing and dealing with things as children that some of us were sheltered from and didn't have to deal with until we were adults. And it's just a really hard time for children and for parents. You know, it's not necessary also for children to become adults before they enter the kingdom of God or to be used by God for his kingdom. In the Bible, we see many places where God used children to accomplish his purposes. Look at Samuel and Josiah. He was only 7 years old when he became the king. And the Bible tells us he did right in the sight of God. And then there were the children that we read about that worshiped God in the temple, just to name a few. So let's never underestimate the value of children and youth and their importance in the kingdom of God. The third mistake they made was they prevented people from coming to Jesus. You see, their wrong attitude became wrong action. The disciples tried to keep the people from bringing their children to Jesus. And no doubt, they believed that their motives were sincere. They may have resented this imposition on the master's time and strength. They may have even thought that the needs of children weren't that important. Whatever it was, they were obviously quite forgetful because Jesus had already told them how important it was that they receive children. By preventing them from coming to Jesus, they were also preventing the parents. They probably thought that they were doing Jesus a favor by not wasting his time because they didn't consider him to be important, but I love Jesus' response. The Bible says he became indignant. Now, commentators will tell us that that's the only time in Scripture that that word indignant is used to describe Jesus. In other words, he was really mad. He got so mad that children would be designated to anything but first priority in his kingdom. It took a lot to make Jesus angry, but the attitude that the disciples had made him mad. How many times was he going to have to tell them? He'd already clearly warned them before in Mark 9:40-42, where he said, "Whoever causes one of these little ones who believes in me to stumble, it would be better for him for a millstone to be hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea." Such strong language. You see, it displeases Jesus very much when we stand in the way of his being able to touch the lives of children. They're so valuable to him. The Bible portrays children as such a blessing. We should never do anything to prevent children from coming to Jesus. And you know some other bonus? If we reach children, we reach whole families. I see that even in my own life. As a child, I remember these people coming to my small community and they set up a big tent. And they would have services for children on Saturday mornings. They would sing songs and give out prizes if you remembered a Bible verse. And I just loved to go there. I'd come home and I'd tell my mom about what I learned and how she needed to go and hear about Jesus. And I think I bugged her so much that one night she decided to go to an adult service. And you know, it was in that service that she accepted Christ as her Savior. And it was that night that her life and my life was changed forever. And because some people came and ministered to children, my whole family was affected. And now my family and other people's family will be affected for generations because somebody cared about children in my small community. You know, parents are concerned for their children. They want good schools. They want safe environments for them. People will sacrifice driving a long distance to work or buying a smaller house just so their children can go to a good school, just so their children can live in a safe neighborhood. And when a young family is looking for a home church, they're going to go where they see that children are safe and welcomed and regarded as important citizens in God's kingdom. And if you welcome children, you're going to welcome the parents as well. So as you can see, the disciples, they made some mistakes with regards to their dealings with children and young people. So let's learn from their mistakes and not make those same mistakes. Now, I want to take a few minutes and just see what we can learn from Jesus' great example. The first thing we see is he valued them as believers. And we see that in verse 42 when he said, "But anyone who causes one of these little ones who believes in me," you see, he considers them believers and he values them as believers. Did you know, according to Barna statistics, 89% of people who are Christians today become a Christian before the age of 15? And that the older a person gets without becoming a Christian, the less likely they are to do so. You know, it's so important that we reach them at a young age. I also remember a story I read about D.L. Moody, the great evangelist. He began his ministry by reaching out to the children of Chicago. One night after an evangelical meeting, he was asked how it went. How many lives were saved that night? To which he replied, 2.5. And the person said, "What do you mean, 2 adults and 1 child? He said, "No, 2 children and 1 adult. The adult only has half of his life to live for Christ. The children have their whole lives in front of them." So like Jesus and Moody, we too need to value them as believers and reach out to them. The second thing we see here is that he touched them. No one has ever been touched by Jesus and ever been the same again. And the parents brought their children to Jesus so that he could touch them. Now, I used to have this Bible. It was burgundy and leather, and it had a zipper all the way around it that my grandfather gave me. And inside on the cover was this picture of Jesus sitting under a tree surrounded by children. And one little child was sitting on his lap. And the look on Jesus' face and the smile and the look of love and acceptance in his eyes was just something I'll never forget. And as a child, I used to picture that was me sitting on Jesus' lap. And I just get such a sense of security and safety to think of that and to be touched by Jesus. And you know, Jesus is not physically with us here, but we're all here and we can be his hands extended. And I'm sure that you can all think of people who touched your lives as children. I remember one school teacher in particular who showed special interest in me and made a difference in my life. I remember Sunday school teachers that had an impact on my life. But besides my mom, who was the greatest influence in my life, was another lady from our church. Her name was Jane. Jane was my youth leader, and it was under her teaching that I became a Christian. She gave me opportunities to minister, and she recognized God's call on my life, and she encouraged me in that. At first, when I was a kid, she'd get me up and read scripture verses, and then she got me to do an object lesson, and eventually, she got me up doing the message and the youth services. And not only that, she also would have us over to her house for pizza parties. And she taught me how to make her fudge and her chocolate snowballs, which I still make every Christmas to this day. And, you know, I don't remember many of her sermons, but I do remember how I felt in her presence. And I always look forward to being around her because I knew she genuinely cared about me and she made me feel like I was important. I remember I wrote her a letter after my daughter Leah was born because I called Leah Jane after her. And I told her in that letter just how much of an impact that she had in my life. And she told me afterwards that she never realized what she had done. And I'm like, oh, Jane, if it wasn't for you, I don't know. Anyways, Jane went to be with Jesus this past year. I got to watch her service on the internet, but I still miss her very much. But when I look back at her and her life, she valued children. And when I get older and people look back at my life, I want people to think the same thing about me. I want them to think of their life and think that I impacted them in a positive way and helped them to be closer to God and be more secure in who they are in Christ, and that they felt loved by God because I was in their life. And I know that there are so many people in this church who are like that, who do that already. But, you know, we can all do that. It just takes a little time and effort. You know, Jane wasn't the most eloquent teacher, but she was available when other people needed her. And she valued young people. They were important in her eyes, and I'm so thankful for that. She followed Jesus' example and touched the lives of children. Let's also do the same. The third thing we see here is that he blessed them. And there are so many ways that we can bless young people. One way is with the words that we say. I remember Mr. Walter Kimmerly, dear, precious saint of God, a man, he passed away a number of years ago. But every Sunday that he saw my girls, he would say to them, "Remember, God loves you and I love you." I'll never forget that. And we can bless them by the words that we say. We can also bless them by listening to them. And I don't mean just kind of half listening, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, you know, really listen to what they're trying to tell you and pay attention and be concerned about what they're saying. We can also meet their needs. If you see a need that a child or a young person has and you have the means to do it, then meet that need. You can sponsor a child for youth camp or kids camp, and that just could change a child's life. There are so many ways that we can bless them. Be creative, and most importantly, don't listen to me, listen to the Holy Spirit and what he lays on your heart to do. Just be open to what he's going to say. In a few weeks, we're going to be announcing Christmas Cheer, which is a time when our church reaches out to youth and young people and families that are in need during the Christmas season. If you felt led by God to give to that, then bless a family. Another way is coming up, we're having a couple of PA days, which I mentioned on the video, and I can't remember the dates right now, but you will find out about that. It's on our website, but invite families to that. If you know families with children that might need some childcare for the PA days, then let them know about it. Children are objects of God's love. He valued them as believers. He touched them and he blessed them. Against the culture of his day, Jesus said there's space in his kingdom for young people. Jesus even says that children exhibit the characteristics of citizens of the kingdom and that we need to be like them. Which leads me to my third point. What should our response be? The first is that we need to be more childlike and less childish. We see that in the passage that we read. The disciples were at best being childish. They wanted to be first. They wanted to be the greatest. And they were arguing over who was the best and who Jesus loved the most. And I've heard children do the same thing. I've heard them say things like, "Oh, I'm better than you," or "He likes me more than he likes you, na, 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 na." And, you know, that must have been what it sounded like to Jesus. They were afraid to talk with Jesus about what their problem was, and they were acting childish, don't you think? Yeah, Jesus sees their childish behavior, and what does he do? He calls a little child over, and he sits him in the midst. They must have felt a little bit embarrassed, I think, when Jesus calls a child to be their example. And Jesus doesn't tell them to grow up. Instead, what he does, he says, don't be as childish, be more childlike instead. So what is it that Jesus wants from us that we can be a bit more childlike? What can we do to be more childlike in our lives? What are the qualities of children that Jesus wanted his disciples and us to emulate? Well, the first thing I believe is to have faith like a child. They're so trusting. Faith just comes naturally to them. They don't question some of the things like we do. Kind of like this little girl that I read about. She was observed by her pastor standing outside her preschool Sunday school class between the morning class and worship. And she was waiting for her parents to come and pick her up for big church. And the pastor noticed that she was holding on to this big storybook in her arms with an obvious title, Jonah and the Whale. Well, he was feeling a little playful, so he knelt down beside the little girl and he said to the little girl, "What's that you have in your hand?" And she said, "This is my storybook about Jonah and the whale." And he said, "Tell me something, little girl. Do you believe that story of Jonah and the whale to be true?" And the little girl said, "Why, of course I believe this story to be true." He inquired further. He said, "You really believe that a man can be swallowed up by a whale, stay inside him all that time and come out of there still alive and okay? You really believe that's true?" And she declared, "Absolutely. That story is in the Bible and we studied about in Sunday school." Then the pastor said, "Well, little girl, can you prove to me that the story is true?" And she thought for a minute and then she said, "Well, when I get to heaven, I'll ask Jonah." And then the pastor asked, "Well, what if Jonah's not in heaven?" Well, by this time, she was frustrated. And she put her hands on her little hips and she said, "Well, in that case, you can ask him." Moral of the story, don't question a child's faith. Children trust more easily. They're impressionable. And if we earn their trust, they'll put great stock in what you say and what you do. Their minds are still moldable, and you have a chance right now. We have a chance right now to put good stuff in. Sometimes as we get older, we get a little set in our ways, and you know, we just are not as easy to trust, and we become less teachable. But a child knows that he doesn't know very much and that he needs to trust his wise parents' advice. It's when a child starts to think that they know more than their parents that they can get themselves in trouble most of the time. They also realize their inability to cope with life, and they're willing to put themselves in the care of others. They trust that their parents know what's right and will keep them safe and provided for. Children, they never worry about finances or what tomorrow will hold because they trust that their parents are going to take care of them. You know, I love watching my grandkids when they're sleeping. They're just so peaceful. There's such a peaceful countenance on their face. And it's because they trust. I wish we could all sleep like that still. You see, a child knows that if he asks his parents for something, then they will give it to them. The parent doesn't begrudge a child for asking for food or clothes or a warmer place to live. The parents want their children to look to them for their needs. No good parent would ever be happy if they saw a child out in the yard eating grass instead of asking them for food. We need to be more trusting like that and just trust our Heavenly Father to take care of us and to do what is right and put those worries and cares and all the troubles of life into His hands, knowing that He is our Father and He takes care of us. Another thing that I think God would want us to emulate in children, that children are like, is be quick to forgive. You know, they're so quick to forgive. I've seen a child do something to another one, and they're upset for a few minutes, and then a few minutes later, they're best friends again. They don't hold on to grudges. It's just not natural to them. They forgive and they forget. And as adults, we can lose that most important childlike quality. Someone can say something to us that hurts our feelings, and instead of forgiving or moving on, we hold on to that hurt for years. Many a person has left a church or spread rumors or lived in strife for years because of something someone said or did to hurt them. That, my friend, that's not childlike behavior. That's childish behavior. So I would suggest that we walk in grace when it comes to other people. The Bible tells us overlook one another's faults and so fulfill the law of Christ. Be like a child, forgive and forget. You know, you might be sitting there, though, thinking, but Connie, you don't know what they said or what that person did to me. And I don't. Some of you have been hurt so badly, it breaks my heart too. But what I do know is that Jesus forgave us. He died on the cross. He took every one of my sins. He washed them away, and He's done that for you. And He commands us to also forgive others. And He knows that unforgiveness hurts us. So be more like a child. Forgive those who have hurt you. Another thing we can do that children are good at is have enthusiasm like a child. Did you ever notice that children are full of enthusiasm? Do you remember what that felt like? When they discover a good thing, you're going to hear about it. They're not worried about how sophisticated they look or how proper they are. They're not self-conscious. When they're excited about something, you know it. And we might never have the energy that children have, but we can have childlike enthusiasm, especially for the things of God. Another thing is be real. Children are real and without pretension. They'll tell you just like it is. One of my grandchildren said to me not long ago, "What are those lines in your face, Nana?" I had to laugh. They're so honest and they're so real. And they will tell you just like it is. You know, if they're happy, you know it. If they're sad, you know it. They don't have masks. And you know something else amazing? If they love you, you know it. They do not hold back. They just love on you, and that's just so wonderful. Let's be more like that. And then another thing about children is they continue to grow and learn. A child must continue to grow and learn new things. And as God's children, we need to also continue to be growing and learning. And as we grow and learn more about His grace and His love and who we are in Christ, we're going to reflect Jesus in our lives more and more, and we're going to look more like him. You know, many times a child will look like his parents. And as a kid, I was told all the time, it's no trouble to know whose father you are, because who's your father, because you are the spitting image of him. And Sarah gets that same thing all the time. You look so much like your dad. Well, we're all God's children, and we need to be a reflection of him. People should be able to look at us and say, it's no trouble to know who your father is. I had a picture. Oh, it was like of this father and little boy that were sleeping, and they had the same kind of look on their face. It was cute. Anyways, no odds. We need to continue to grow in the fruit of the Spirit as we spend time with him, and then we will reflect him more. So stop for a moment and ask yourselves, in what ways would Jesus want me to be less childish and more childlike so that I can be a better reflection of him? The story is told of the father of a teenager who expressed some nervousness because his son had agreed to be house-sitting for the CEO of his dad's company. The rather complex house-sitting assignment included a couple of dogs, several aquariums, and this was no small task. The father joked, for the sake of his job, he hoped that his son didn't goof up. Happily, he didn't, and all the pets thrived, and everyone lived happily ever after. The point of that story is house-sitting involves accepting responsibility for another person's possessions. Just think for a moment. God has entrusted you and me with the future of his kingdom. Each child who comes under your influence is an irreplaceable child to God. A very fragile bundle of potential. It's an awesome privilege. It's exciting and also scary. So we want to know what we're doing. We want to do the best we can. So let's learn from the disciples' mistakes, and let's always follow Jesus' example. Now, I am so thankful for this church family and the fact that it does place such an importance on ministering to children and youth. And I see that. I see that in all the people who are willing to participate and get involved and bless children. And if you're already involved, that's wonderful. But if you're not and God is speaking to your heart and you'd like to get involved in ministry, speak to Carrie Ann or Dylan, and they will help you to do that. But you must feel led to do that. Children's ministry is not for everybody. Everybody can bless them, but it's not for everybody. Trust me. But it's very important to God's heart. So if you want to, get directly involved. If not, please pray. You can pray for our children, for our youth, for our leaders. You know, Satan is after our young people. And we need to do everything in our power to keep them. So let's not make sure that we don't make the mistakes that the disciples made and that we follow Jesus' amazing example and embrace the children that God has given us. Let's learn from children and let's be more childlike and a little less childish. And another thing we need to do is model for them. Model what it looks like to be a follower of Jesus. Children and youth are looking for models. They need to see models of authority and integrity in Christ. Because, you know, the world is telling them that the church is just full of hypocrites and they can't trust it. But we know better. We know that we love Jesus and we want to be that example for the next generation. So model it in front of them. But the number one thing you need to do is pray for our young people every day. Pray that the Holy Spirit will regenerate their hearts and draw them into a personal relationship with Jesus. Pray that Warden will be known as the best place to raise your children and bring your youth, that the children and youth ministries will grow in their reach. And if you know families that you could invite, then invite them. Invite them to the PA days, as I said, or invite them to church. They might say no, but you never know. They might be ready, and God might be already speaking to their hearts, and they might say yes. You don't know until you ask. I'm going to conclude with this. One day, a young mother made a rather unusual request of a workman who was out pouring concrete in a new sidewalk. As she asked if she could place her baby's feet in the wet concrete, when he said yes, she took the child and stood him on the concrete and carefully pointed his toes towards a nearby church. This was an attempt on the mother's part to make a lasting impression that she hoped would impact the future of that little one's life. And you know, there are so many people here, good Christian parents, and you've poured your life and your love and your faith into the kids. You've carefully set their feet pointed towards Jesus. And some have stayed on that path, but some have chosen to take another way, not to your fault or anyone's fault. They just have free choice, and they chose not to follow. And your hearts are breaking today. You're agonizing over their salvation and the poor choices that they've made. I want you to know today, I want to encourage you, God loves them more than you ever could. And he is pursuing them. Even though you might not see it, he's pursuing them. So why don't you leave them in God's most capable care today? And always remember, God is not slow. He is patient. And we need to be patient and continue to trust God for those and children and family members that don't yet know him, who are walking a different path. And I also want you to know that no matter who you are or what stage in life you are also very valuable to God. He loves you so very, very much. And he cares about what you are going through and what's happening in your life today. And if you're here and you've never accepted Jesus as your Savior, I'd love to introduce you to Jesus. Jesus is the Son of God. He came as a baby. He grew up and he died a painful death on the cross. He took the punishment for your sin and mine. And God's word says, but as many as received him, to them he gave the power to become children of God, even to those who believe on his name. That means that if you believe in Jesus, that you believe he died for your sins, that he rose again, and you put your faith in him today, you can become a child of God. But of course, that's your choice. But if you do choose to accept him today, it's the best decision you'll ever make, and it could change your life and the life of those around you. And if you do make that choice, please let one of us know, someone know, so that we can rejoice and journey with you. In a few moments, we're going to celebrate communion together. Now, honestly, I can't think of a better way to conclude this service than with communion. I think it's important that we focus on Jesus, his grace, his love, what he's done for each one of us, and how much he loves us today. And in communion, we do that. If on your way in, you should have received your elements. If you didn't, then just raise your hand, and one of our good greeters or ushers will bring it to you. But we're going to worship, and then I'm going to come back, and I'll lead you in communion in just a few moments. But these are challenging times in a lot of our lives and in our world. But we are not alone. He is our strength. He is our shield. He is where our help comes from. So let's worship him today. Let's thank him for his grace. And we'll what he has done for us, and then we'll receive communion in just a moment.